Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
Hey, you're looking pretty good for just coming off of a share-a-thon.
For not getting much sleep last week.
Those are two long days.
Oh, and we even had a third one because What's-His-Face came in super early.
That's right. Yeah, busy week last week, but hey, we appreciate that. It's our share-a-thon a couple times a year. As paradoxical as it sounds, we take our regular programming off the air so that we can use that time to raise funds to keep those regular programs on the air year-round. And that's the whole purpose of our share-a-thon. If you were one of the listeners who participated, thank you very much. It is indeed your contributions that keep Catholic Radio on the air. We don't remind you that real often, but Catholic Radio is listener-supported. Our two sources of revenue are donations from listeners just like you, also business underwriting from some of the businesses whose announcements you hear on Catholic Radio here, but that's pretty much it. So we do need support from everybody who's listening. If you joined our family of listeners last week during the share-a-thon, thank you very much. If you meant to but didn't get around to it,
There's still time.
You can visit our website, catholicradioindy.org, or you can just call us here at the station, 317-870-8400. 317-870-8400 or catholicradioindy.org.
You know, Jim, I'm looking at this sign behind me that says Catholic Radio Intermurifica, blah, blah, blah. You know that has to be changed, right?
We have got a new logo.
Oh, we do?
It's not on that sign, but
The 89.1, the 90.9, and we need to add the Anderson station.
98.3. And so we've been on for, we signed on August 14th, the Feast of St. Maximilian Kolbe, our patron saint. And we've been on ever since.
And want to Anderson station.
Welcome all of our new listeners, our new friends in Anderson. And some of those folks were kind enough to step up to the plate during our share-a-thon last week.
It was kind of fun to meet them.
Thank them as well.
Okay, our guest today on Faith in Action, my favorite kind of guest. I know I shouldn't say this, but I do. Is when we get a guest who's a priest. And this one is brand spanking new, hot off the press, Father Cody Owens from Holy Spirit at Geist. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks very much, MJ. Happy to be here.
So I don't know if this makes me feel old or very young, but Father Cody is this exactly the same age as my number four child.
That is true.
Went on senior retreat with my Emily, for pity's sake.
It doesn't seem like that long ago.
Right?
Right.
It was like, I mean, that was just a couple years ago, and you're already a priest.
Yeah.
Right?
7 years that I guess seven retrospectively years. Seem a lot shorter than they did while I was in them.
Okay, well, let's start. First of all, tell us a little bit about your family. Brother, sister, mom and dad, where do they live? What parish did you grow up in?
I am the oldest of four kids. I have a brother whose name is Connor. He lives in the Twin Cities now in Minnesota. He's a salesman for Michelin Tires.
Oh, my.
That's not an advertisement. I have a sister, Rachel, who's at Bellarmine University in Louisville,
Kentucky.
Oh, that's
a great one. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She loves it there. And then my youngest sister, Grace, is a junior in high school at Fisher's High School. She's in the marching band.
Oh, boy.
My parents are Tom and Jill. They met at Ball State, and we moved around. My dad is from the Gary area. My mom is from Muncie. So we moved around a little bit when I was young, but by kindergarten, I was living in Fishers, and I grew up from then on in Fishers. And now I'm back at Holy Spirit at Geist. I grew up at St. Louis de Montfort, so just a neighboring parish.
Oh, my
very
goodness.
Very happy to be back in my hometown.
Now, let me ask you this. Of course, let me don't answer for you, but did your parents belong to St. Louis de Montfort and now They go across the river now, across the lake.
They did and do belong to St. Louis de Montfort. I can only comment on the paper record. They are certainly registered parishioners at St. Louis de Montfort.
Okay. All right. Because they're right next door to each other. And I certainly would go across the way.
I do get to see them pretty frequently, and I'm very
happy. How wonderful is that? You know, I wonder how often that happens. I know our parish priest, Father John McCaslin, grew up in St. Simon, and they call him, you know, a son of St. Simon, and now he's back 15, 20 years later.
That's right.
He is now our pastor, which is, and of course the parish loves it because they wrap their arms around, you know, this is our, one of our vocations.
Absolutely.
Right? And the wonderful thing about St. Louis de Montfort with perpetual adoration.
Yes.
I think that that, I mean, I just, I don't think, I think it's scientifically a proven fact.
Scientifically.
I do. That when you have perpetual adoration, you get vocations.
Absolutely. It certainly helped my faith a lot, a lot.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. Tell us a little bit about your vocation story. Where did it start? When did the first little nudge?
I would be happy to. My dad told me not to tell this story, but I'm going to do it anyways. The first time I considered becoming a priest, I was about 7 years old, and I was being driven home from a CCD class at St. Louis de Montfort, and we were turning from Hague Road onto 116th Street, back to where my parents live, where I grew up, and my dad looked in the rearview mirror, and he said, "So Cody, what did you learn today?" And typical for a seven-year-old, I said, "Nothing." And he said, "That's fine." And then he took the conversation kind of serious pretty fast. He said, "You know, Cody, there's a priest shortage." I said, "Oh," I didn't really know what that meant. He said, "Yeah, if they don't start getting more priests soon, then they're going to have to start mailing us communion." And he was kidding, but yeah. I was seven, and yeah. I didn't know that. So I freaked out, and I said, "No, absolutely not. I'll do it. I'll become a priest."
Oh, my goodness.
The rest is history, as they say.
Oh, my goodness.
That
How cool is that,
It was
though?
Pretty cool. Years later, when I was in seminary, the very first thing they ask you to do is tell your vocation story. Number one, so that when you're ordained and you're asked on Catholic radio to tell your vocation story, you know what to do.
It's not the first time you've gone through it, right?
Exactly. But number two, to sort of allow you to track the path that God has led you on in your life, to have a retrospective and really consider the work of God. And something my spiritual director told me, he pointed out that moment, and he said, "You might not have known that you were going to be a priest then, but God was present, and he entered your life then in a way that he never entered it or never would have been able to enter it if you hadn't said, okay, if you wouldn't have received that." And I think that's true. I didn't know I was supposed to be a priest at 7 years old, and I fought it the rest of my adolescence. But that was when I first knew that God was a part of my life and that somehow he and I had a relationship, and I owed something to him that I was supposed to be giving back towards God.
So let me ask you, because in high school and specifically the senior retreat,
sure,
because that is a time, I think senior retreat, Christian awakening, the three or four days that you go on, is incredible, very emotional. They keep you up late, get you up early.
Yeah.
Plus, well, you meet these cute girls and guys from all over the diocese. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a mix of all kinds of things. Plus, you do a lot of sharing.
Yeah.
Did, when you were, so a senior in high school, I mean, you're about ready to jump off into Ball State, IU, Purdue, anywhere you want. At that time, were you thinking, "I think I'm being called. I still think I'm being called"? Or were you thinking, "There are a lot of cute girls here. I just don't know about that"?
Both and.
Both and.
It was not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Okay.
I was actually dating a girl. I went to Fishers High School. So I was dating a girl at the time, and I had been pretty open with her and told her, you know, I might be called to priesthood, and sorry. She was not Catholic. She didn't really understand what that meant, I don't think. But we had a great relationship, but I was still sort of wrestling with that. Yeah, absolutely, considering the weight of the future.
Okay, so did you, when you finally said to your parents, I think this is it, and were you one of the ones that went in after college or straight from high school or what?
I went to Ball State University for 2 years. I was studying vocal music education there. That was pretty much the only thing I was ever good at. So I was happy to be studying that. I continued dating the girl that I dated in high school through college, through a part of my freshman year of college. And I had everything going for me. On paper, my life looked great. I was doing all the right things. I had a great roommate who I'm still very good friends with. He helped me move into the rectory at Holy Spirit this past summer. I had an a cappella group. I was a leader in all of these different collegiate endeavors, but I really was just miserable. I couldn't tell you exactly why. I remember distinctly another car trip with my dad where he drove me back after Thanksgiving to move back into my dorm room. And as we looked up at La Follette Hall, which is soon no longer to be at Ball State, but we looked up at the hall and he said, "Cody, are you excited to be back?" And I paused and said, "No, I don't want to be here. I don't know what to do." But yeah, I weighed my options. You know, I was a part of Fellowship of Catholic University Students, FOCUS, on campus at Ball State. It was their first year, was my freshman year. And so I got involved with some of their Bible studies, and I had a couple sort of big encounters with some of my professors at Ball State. I was studying vocal music education, as I said, and so I had a vocal coach. My vocal coach was a great man, a fantastic baritone. He had toured through opera companies all over Germany. He's a very impressive voice and someone who could command a room. And there was a day where I had always been a little bit afraid of him, to be honest with you. There was a day where I was singing some sort of German aria, or I don't remember what it was, because I didn't practice very much. And that was exactly why he got upset with me. He slammed the keyboard shut partway through my lesson and said, "Cody, I'm so disappointed in you. You haven't practiced at all." And for some reason, I was just no longer afraid. I said, "You're right. I didn't practice a single bit." And I went through my life with him and told him how I didn't know what I was doing at Ball State. I wasn't sure where I was going. And out of his window, his office window, you could see the Catholic Church down the road. And I told him about the things that I was doing with FOCUS, with my Bible study, with adoration. He said, "Cody," and he pointed out his window, "you know, it's great that you're doing all the things down at the church, but eventually you're going to have to make a decision if you want to be out there or if you want to be in here. Maybe you just shouldn't be a music major." I think he was trying for a little reverse psychology, but it was not reverse psychology. It was just regular, straightforward psychology. And I said, "Oh my gosh, you're right. I shouldn't be a music major." So I started looking at my options and changing my major, looking at different, more valuable things. I had another professor who was an avowed atheist, did not like the Catholic Church, but he saw how upset I was, and he asked me to his office. And after, again, I told him all the things I was doing with my life, he said, "Well, Cody, do you think you could maybe put some of those religious things aside so that you could focus more on the music and the things you're supposed to be doing?" And I said, "Now, you and I both know that that's the most important thing in my life. And if I had to drop everything else and just choose one thing, I would keep all of the things in the church." And he said, "Well, this might sound a little funny coming from me, Cody, but have you ever considered becoming a priest?"
What?
And I laughed in his office and said, "Yeah, actually, I have." So I told my parents about all of this, obviously kept them in the loop. I thought about all the different options, as I said, switching my major or moving to a different university. I finally settled on net ministries. I said, "I can do something, you know, separate from university, from education. I don't have to worry about my vocation. I can just go into mission work, and God will be satisfied with that." And I told my parents I was going to apply for net, and they said, "Absolutely not."
They said, "Really?
That is not okay." They said, you've got some problems, clearly, but you're running from them, and that's not all right. You can't just put your life on pause." So I said, "Okay." And so then eventually, when several months later, I was really discerning the seminary, I met with a priest who was my vocation director, Father Brian Doerr at the time. And I met with him and told him my whole vocation story. I told him, I gave him a call and said, "Hey, I think I'm called to be a seminarian. I figured you'd be the guy to call." And he said, "Actually, Cody, that's great. Thanks for calling, but I don't need you." And I froze. And then kind of breathed a sigh of relief.
He let me off the hook.
He did. Yeah. He said, "I don't need you. We've got a lot of great seminarians, a lot of great men who are dedicated to their vocation, to the Lord, and to each other. And unless you're really sure about this, I don't need you to apply. So thanks very much. But maybe we can come and meet." And yeah, I felt a great sense of relief. All of a sudden, the world wasn't on my shoulders. It wasn't all about me.
Sure,
it didn't revolve around me. But he came to meet with me. And he sort of changed his tune a little bit. And he said, "So when are you joining the seminary?" pulled a fast one on me. And I sort of took a little bit of attitude with him. And I said, listen, Father, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but we're in a spiritual warfare, all right? I'm on the front lines every day at university. I lead a Bible study. I do all these great things. I'm trying to convert this campus, and I don't think I need to join the seminary to do God's work. And he laughed at me, and he said, Cody, you're right. We are in a spiritual warfare, but that was never the question that you had to answer. The question that's posed to you is, do you want to fight that war as a knight or as a squire? And I paused and said, what am I supposed to say to that,
Father? Which one's better? I don't know. Let me think about that.
Exactly. He laughed. He said, I don't know. You can choose what you want. So I went to go pray about that. And I stopped in the Adoration Chapel. And while I was in the chapel, I was encouraged by some priests that I knew to be honest with God. I had always been polite with God. I said the things that I thought he wanted me to say. I wanted to be a nice child of God, maybe not
religiously correct.
Exactly. You've got it. So I sat in the Adoration Chapel at St. Francis of Assisi in Muncie, Indiana, and I knelt before the Blessed Sacrament, just Jesus and myself. And I said, all right, God, I've not asked you for much, but right now, quite frankly, you're wasting my time. I have all of these things I want to do for you. I have this life that I want to live for you, that I want to give to you, but I can't do anything because you won't tell me what you want. Now, I'm not saying that I expect a sign at the next Mass I go to, but if I don't get one, I'm going to be mad. And I walked out of the Adoration Chapel and went to daily Mass. It was a Tuesday in the season of Easter. And the Mass that day was a great Mass. My patron saint is St. Paul. I'm a big fan of St. Paul. He's always sort of haunted me, followed me around. I don't know if haunted is religiously correct, to borrow a phrase. But one way or another, during that Mass, the homily was about St. Paul. And the priest said, St. Paul was a great saint. So immediately I tuned in because this was my guy.
Right, sure.
He said, St. Paul was a great saint. He wrote half the New Testament. He's counted with St. Peter as one of the founding fathers of the church. He did all of these great things, had a great conversion, converted hundreds of thousands, but St. Paul would have been nothing if he hadn't left the life that he knew to go be formed with his brothers for the mission. And I sort of blinked my eyes and said, well, that sounds a whole lot like seminary. And God had spoken to me in a way that I could understand, using characters that I knew, had given me an answer to this knight squire question, that really being a knight means following your vocation, being who God is supposed to, who you're supposed to be for God. So I called Father Dorr back again and said, I think I'm ready. He said, I was wondering how long it would take you. And when I called and told my parents I was entering the seminary, I had called and conferenced with a priest beforehand, Father Chris Shockley, said, I think I'm going to join the seminary. Am I crazy? And he said, you're not crazy. It's going to be okay. Talk me back. And I called my parents and talked to my dad on the phone once again. I said, I think I'm going to join the seminary. And he said, okay, that sounds like a good decision. And now truly the rest is history.
The rest is history. I was going to say, we need to take a break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
If it wasn't for you all, I don't know what I would do.
Catholic Radio Indy.
What an absolute blessing you are.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Father Cody Owens. He is the associate at Holy Spirit at Geist.
That's correct.
The Lafayette Diocese.
Yes.
Brand spanking new. Hot off the press.
Land.
The promised land. We were members at Holy Spirit at Geist for, 15 years when the kids were in. They had a great father, Scott McNamee.
Yes.
Great youth group.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Led an incredible youth group there. Okay, so the first half we heard your vocation story. So you were ordained this past summer.
I was.
All right. So tell us a little bit about, you're a few months in. This is going to be, we're coming into your first Advent.
Correct. Yes.
As a priest.
Soon and very soon.
That's right. Okay. So tell us what it has been like. I'm sure that you imagine what being a priest will be like. You've grown up with priests your whole life. You've witnessed them every Sunday and maybe even more often. And so now the reality and your imagination come together And what's it like? What has it been like the last few months? Because you've already buried someone, I understand. You've already had at least a couple funerals.
Yeah, a couple funerals, a couple weddings, a lot of baptisms.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
More masses than I can count, praise God. Yeah, it has been really remarkable. It's great. People have asked me several times, what's the most surprising thing that's happened to you in the parish? Yeah. And honestly, I haven't been taken off guard yet.
Okay, good.
Knock on wood. I look up to heaven as I say that. I'm not trying to ask for any trouble. But the seminary prepared me well. And
that's a good thing.
Priest that I look up to did a great job of really mentoring me and preparing me for what I was entering into. That's not to say there aren't good days and bad days and, you know, everything
well,
in between.
Well, your time is not your own anymore.
Exactly.
We asked a priest not too long ago, so I'll ask you, because his answer kind of surprised me. It surprised him. He said that all through seminary, he was anticipating that his favorite thing was going to be Saturday morning confessions or going to the high school and confessions. He said, souls that were coming back in, receiving grace, sanctifying grace. He said, he thought that was going to be his favorite. And he said it, and it's not. His favorite is being with people as they are dying.
Mm,
he said that is the most, because they're taking the next step. And he said the anticipation, the eagerness that he sometimes witnesses and souls leaving their bodies. So for you, what, because you've done, you've been involved in a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I absolutely have. I think I was expecting to be most excited about preaching. That was what I told people.
Preaching.
Anyways.
That's supposed to be the scariest thing, like death and divorce.
I was on
preaching.
Speech team in high school. Oh, okay. I had no fear.
Okay.
But what has truly been the most remarkable thing, and it doesn't come as a surprise to me insofar as it won't sound out of the ordinary, but it just wasn't the thing I was expecting. I love celebrating the Mass. Every time I celebrate the Mass, I love it. And the thing that I will always remember from my ordination day, the whole day is a blur. Really, the Mass itself, my ordination is a blur. But there was a moment when we were praying through the Eucharistic prayer right after I was ordained a priest. During the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God, they pass around the ciborium to all the priests, and every priest takes a host. And I was holding the host in my hand as I heard the bishop say, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world." And as I stared into the host, I just was filled with chills and almost, I teared up a little bit. I said, this is very real. This is our Lord.
Yeah.
And that experience has stuck with me throughout my time as a priest at Holy Spirit.
So do you sing? Do you sing during Mass? Because I understand
the bishops want us
to sing a little bit more and make it, the return of the sacred, the return of the singing.
Certainly.
So do you sing a little bit?
I sing as much as I am able to. sometimes I was very grateful to be able to say a Mass of Thanksgiving for the poor Claire sisters in Kokomo, whose prayers are so valuable and whose religious life I'm so grateful for. I said a Mass there, and right before I began the Mass, I said, "Now, are you comfortable with chant?" And they said, "Oh, yes, we can chant anything, Father."
Oh, I love it.
I said, "Challenge accepted." and I chanted every single word of that Mass.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I caught them one time where they didn't really know what to say, but I helped them through it. So,
oh, my goodness.
I never like to make anyone feel too uncomfortable with chant. It's a growing process for all of us, myself included. So,
one big challenge you've got ahead of you yet, probably over at Holy Spirit there, at our recent Catholic radio dinner.
Yes.
Father Gartland put up
a dinner
for, I believe, up to 10 people.
He said
it was going to be prepared in the rectory. And I'm guessing he's not going to do that solo.
you may be chopping some onions.
You're absolutely. Hey, that's fine by me. I love Italian food, and pasta is easy.
it is a delight. It's a delight having you here, Father, and it's a delight hearing your vocation story. I love that you said you like to preach, because that, I imagine, I've witnessed many young priests, in their first few months, and some take notes, and some are up there shaking, and the notes are shaking. I remember Father Ed from way back when he could not extemporaneously give a homily. And so we all have different gifts.
Absolutely.
But do you do that? Do you extemporaneously give a homily? Do you have an idea? Do you kind of look at the reading and see where you're being led? How do you do that?
It varies. I always like to look at as many sources as possible. Early on in seminary, a professor told me that they had taken a survey from the deacon class and at most they were using one source to prepare their homilies. And I was scandalized. I said, no. So I look at three or four different commentaries. I listen to other priests and do my best to prepare. And then usually I just take a couple notes with the scripture reading in front of me and go from there. Okay. St. Paul said, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. That's how I feel.
I love the thing from St. Paul where he says, I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do. And I think, oh my goodness, he's rapidly becoming, it used to be St. Peter or Peter who identified with the most, sure. You know, wonderful. Mm-hmm. But Paul, oh, he's right there too.
He's my guy.
You know, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Okay, we've got just a little over a minute left, Father. Advent's coming up. You know, mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if you've thought about that yet. People are always asking us here and always thinking about how can we make this, you know, go deeper and make the meaning of Christmas, just make it a little bit more special. You have any ideas for our listeners? I mean, just certainly. How to bring that home a little bit more.
Definitely. I think the number one thing to keep in mind in Advent is a time of waiting, a time of preparation. We know, of course, because of the nativity that we wait for, also the second coming, which is a hopeful event. It's a hopeful judgment. I was just reading some spiritual reading about that. Remembering that the incarnation is real, that the world that we live in is the same world that God came into. The traffic light that you're stopped at exists in the world that God decided to come into. And once God became flesh, then truth and beauty and justice and every good thing became flesh. The event that we're waiting for is the culmination of our entire lives. It's part of a story that we've been involved in for a long time, and it's the most exciting and thrilling story that could ever be told.
Amen. Amen. I wonder if you could offer us your blessing, and listeners, if you don't know about it, this one's pretty spectacular. A priest who has been a priest for less than a year, when he offers you his blessing, if you go to confession and all the other things that normally go with an indulgence, a plenary indulgence is afforded. So confession within the next week or so, and go to church and offer Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be for the Holy Father, and this blessing.
May the peace of Christ, which is beyond all understanding, keep your minds and your hearts in the knowledge and the love of God the Father and of His Son, Jesus Christ. And may Almighty God bless you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. God bless you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the programming tab and select podcasts.